Okay, so sort of a new topic. Pidyon bechor, behema tahira. Then there is pidyon bechor, really chamor of a non-Jewish animal. But there's several levels to this halacha. What is the halacha from the time of the Beis HaMikdash? So in theory, the way this is all supposed to work is that an animal is born, if it's a firstborn, so then it's makdish to Hashem, right? As the pasuk tells us in the first pasuk in our Tehillim, not in our not in our Tehillim, in our Tefillin, kadishli kol b'chor pet kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael b'adam uva behema lihu, right? When you have the first first of the womb that comes out, so whether an animal or a person or an animal, it's going to be considered to be kadosh. Now, it doesn't. That's all we really have over there in Shmos. Then in Vayikra, at the very, very end of Vayikra, it mentions this issue that if you bring that the bechor is really supposed to be offered as a korban. So the way it's supposed to work is that an animal is born, the person who takes care of it, the owner of the animal, will watch it for a little bit of time until it gets to be a little older and is able to then be brought as a korban, at which point it is given to a kohen. The Kohen offers it as a korban, which doesn't really mean that much, meaning he's only offering the chalev, only a couple parts of the animal actually get offered as a korban, and then the Kohen gets the rest. So that's considered a korban, which is kachshei kalim, right? Kachim that the Kohen would then be able to eat with the rest of his family. Okay, so that is the way it's supposed to be set up. Now, even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, already you had to be concerned about what happens if the firstborn animal happens to be a bal mum, right? So it happens to have a mum attached to it, so then it can't be brought as a korban. Nevertheless, it still would be given to a kohen, right? So the kohen would then get it. It's considered one of the matnos kahuna, and he would oversee its shechita, and that's that. Now because it was only shechted, it's not actually offered as a korban, so the Kohen actually has a lot of leeway as to what he's allowed to do with it. In fact, he's even potentially even allowed to sell it, or at least the rice would be allowed to sell it. Maybe it's considered to be bizayon for the kachim to sell it in the shuk. We'll cover some of that tonight. But in theory, the Kohen it would then go ahead and eat it. And that's great. That's one of the matanos, the matnos of kahuna. So in theory, that even applies today. That the mitzvah of that a bechor is born. If a bechor has a mum, so then it is given to it would then be given to a kohen. Again, in theory, it would be given to a kohen, and the kohen would be able to shecht it and eat it, or potentially even sell it, give some of it away in various ways, or have a lot of guests over. It's not that it only has to be eaten by a kohen, it's just that it has to be owned by a kohen, and then distributed by the kohen, in a bekavadik way. So if he wants to then get these animals and open, I don't know, a bed and breakfast someplace, and with mum animals, and he'll be able to get a cheap supply of meat, so that would be something that potentially he could do. That's if it has a mum. What if it doesn't have a mum? So then you have a problem. Because in theory, if it doesn't have a mum, it's supposed to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, we don't currently have that Beis HaMikdash available for the korban to be offered. So then what do you do with it? So the only thing really to do with it is to let it hang around until it develops a mum. So that leads to some other halachos, because while it is hanging around, there are various yisurim that are associated with it, meaning it has a status of kachim. It's already considered to be kodesh. So until it has a mum, you're not allowed to work it. You're not allowed to shear it. You're not allowed to do anything to proactively cause it to get a mum. So you pretty much just have this animal walking around growing a lot of hair until it develops a mum. So that's, while that's considered nice, you're supporting kachim and it belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu and everything like that, that's considered to be somewhat of a pain in the neck. So halacha deals with that, with the aspect that that's considered to be like sort of a challenge. And then you have, so that all of that is the way it works, really, al pi dinei haTorah. I mean, if you read the psukim, you'd be able to figure out that's the way it's supposed to work. Lamaisa today, we try to avoid the situation. Not that one always avoids the situation, but one tries to avoid the situation by having the animal jointly owned by a non-Jew. That if a non-Jew owns a portion of the animal, so then the kedusha of bechora does not come in. So therefore, we go ahead and figure out a way to sell these animals, work out ways of kinyanim with non-Jews, such that an animal owns a significant portion of the animal, in which case, or of the mother, in which case the child that's born is not going to be subject to pidyon b'chor, and that way these challenges are avoided. So that issue of selling it actually shows up really at the end of this section of Shulchan Aruch, which actually goes on for a few simanim. So, but the theory back, and the truth is, it would come up in practice sometimes, and one gets a sense from reading the Piskei Tshuvos that it may have come up more often than people wanted to realize or wanted it to. But it does come up that all of a sudden you'll have this animal around that has kedushas bechora, and you got to figure out what to do with it until it gets a mum, and after it gets a mum, and how do you know if it has a mum, right? The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, when discusses the possibilities of getting smicha, so it talks about the regular form of smicha is what we call yora, the ability to paskin halachos. That's the standard smicha that is given out, and I mean today it's not exactly that, but that's in theory. And then there's what we call yadin, which is for dayanus, which also is given out in some sort of today. And then there is yatir bechoros. Yatir bechoros means you have a special smicha in how to recognize the mumim on animals. So I don't believe that YU has opened a Yatir Bechoros Kolel just yet. I don't believe there's one in Lakewood, nor in the Mirror, nor anywhere. I don't think there is. There are, I mean, I do remember a couple of years ago, there was a story about a Parah Aduma in New Jersey someplace, like down, you know, near Vineland or whatever, someplace. And they showed, like in the news, clip, they showed like these rabbanim from Lakewood going and like checking it out, and like at least from the secular news account, it actually they seemed like they knew what they were doing. Like, you know, they learned Mishnayos Parah and was like trying to figure out what the status is with regards to this animal. So it is possible for one to be an expert, but I believe the Shulchan Aruch itself seems to sort of push back on the idea that anybody would be an expert enough to be able to figure out whether something is considered a mum or not, and therefore that require, you know, and they got to figure out what to do about that as well.
So okay. If the animal is not in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, so that's actually the first issue. Is this knowing in only in Eretz Yisrael? There's a knowing in Chutz La'aretz as well. So that actually is the first issue that shows up. Actually ends up being a machlokas with a big girsa issue as well. So on the first page in the tour, in the Torah itself, so it gives a good summary here. So, b'chor behema tahora noig b'zacharim v'lo b'nekeva. So, it's noig by boys, not girls. D'chsiv kol peta rechem hazcharim. Right, the first womb that are boys. But noig b'im b'zman habayis b'in shelo b'zman habayis. So, it's noig whether during the time of the Beis HaMikdash and not. Okay, so whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or not is not, I mean, as ramifications as to whether you could offer it as a korban, but the status of b'chor is going to be applicable whether there's a base of Migdash or not. B'chas of a Rambam, and the Rambam says, she'eno noig ela ba'aretz, v'afilu im huvu mechutz la'aretz, lo yakrivu lehem chulin lo yakrivu shehem chulin gemurim. And he says, the Rambam says, she'eno no, that it's not noig except for an Eretz Yisrael, and even if you would bring from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, meaning even if you would pack up your animal from your farm in Lancaster and schlep it to Yerushalayim, still it's not going to be, you would only be offering lo yakrivu, you don't offer it shehem chulin gemurim, because it is full-fledged chulin. V'aramban kasav shenoig b'chutz la'aretz v'chein hi maskanas adoni avi arash. But however, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, "No, it's noig in chutz la'aretz. It's not a mitzvah to luya b'aretz. It's a din." Right, and it's a din applicable to Jews wherever they are in the world. And he says the Rush agrees with him as well. Now, the only problem is that this Rambam doesn't seem to exist. So the Beis Yosef here already picks up, and it's not the way it appears in our Rambam. In our Rambam, we meant to put this in, but our Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey of Bechoros says as follows: Mitzvah Bechor Behema Tahora Noheges Ba'aretz Uvachutz La'aretz. But don't bring the Bechor from Chutz La'aretz L'Eretz Yisrael. Right? But the Rambam says that it can't be brought as a korban unless it comes from Eretz Yisrael. Right? Just as Meiser, it's compared to Meiser, just as Meiser Sheni is only applicable in Eretz Yisrael, so too the din of it being a korban is only applicable to it being in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam does seem to be saying that it does apply in Chutz La'aretz, meaning he's not making a distinction as to whether it has Kedusha Bechor, he's just making a distinction as to whether it could be offered on the Mizbeach. And even if he brings it, you shouldn't accept it, you shouldn't offer it, rather it should be eaten once it gets a mum. So that is what the Rambam says. Now, it seems like there is some kind of girsa issue. It's unclear what there's different. There are different printings of the Rambam said different things, but I think the assumption is that this is the original printing, meaning originally this is what the Rambam held, that it's noeg bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. However, there are printings from later on that the Rambam seem to hold differently, and that must be what the Torah has. Because the Beis Yosef here points out, he says, Lo diktik Rabbeinu Masha Kasa B'Shem Rambam. He says that apparently the Torah wasn't very careful with what they wrote in the name of the Rambam. Shulo Kasav Kain. That's not what he wrote. Adarabba. The Rambam wrote Kasav Shinoig B'Chutz La'aretz. V'lo Chilik Bein Ba'aretz L'Chutz La'aretz. And he doesn't distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, except for that you shouldn't bring it as a korban. V'Chutz La'aretz L'aretz V'gam Masha Kasav Yishmo Shim Huvu Lo Yakrivu. Shem Chulin Gemurim Einu Medukta K'Sha'afa Pisha Kasav Shilo Yakrivu Lo Kasav Shem Chulin Gemurim. So he's half right, meaning even though the Rambam does say it shouldn't be offered as a korban, the Rambam never writes that it's considered to be chulin. Right? The Rambam agrees that it's noig in Chutz La'aretz. El sheyocha b'mumah v'chol zman shelenola b'mum harehu bikdushaso. V'efshar shenuscha mishubeshes nizdamnu l'rabbeinu b'divrei Rambam shegam arayvet hayagoris b'divrei Rambam harehu kechulin. V'chasov alav shehu tos. Because the Rambam also seems to have the same addition as the Tur from the fact that he argues on the Rambam, right? He gets very upset at the Rambam, yelling at the Rambam, how could you say that it's not noeg in Chutz La'aretz? It's obviously noeg in Chutz La'aretz, to which the Rambam would tell him, right? I never said what you said. There was just a bad manuscript, apparently, that got out there, right? It's a famous story with Rav Chaim that he got up to Shemayim and asked Hashem, why is it, the Rambam, he says, you're such a good, you're such a chassid and a Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik, Rav Chaim, what would you like? He's like, I'd like to meet the Rambam. So Hashem says, all right, I'll arrange it. So the Rambam meets Rav Chaim Salvechik, Rav Chaim, and he says, yes. And Rav Chaim says, I've been working on your works my whole life. The Rambam says, I'm aware. Actually, I'm not sure what the Rambam would hold about Olam Haba. But the way the joke goes, right, the Rambam says, I'm aware. The Rav Chaim says, okay, I was able to answer all the stiros except for three. And he gives him the three examples where he says, I couldn't come up with an answer for the following three things, to which the Rambam responds by saying, he says, oh, well, that first one, you have me saying mutter, but really I wrote usser, it's just a messed up manuscript. And that one, you say that there is no source for it. No, there is a source for it. It's in a medrash that was lost. And the third one, something else along those lines, that, whatever, you had it as... Your Gemara says this, but really the Gemara has the wrong gear, so my manuscript of the Gemara said that. To which Rav Chaim yells at him and says, what are you doing? Is that any way to answer a Shver Rambam? Right? How could you answer a Rambam that way? So here, you could get all upset at how the Rambam figured out there's a distinction, but it seems like the original, and the way it is written in the Frankel, is like it was written originally. That the Rambam does hold it was knowing in Chutz La'aretz. The only thing the Rambam disagrees with is whether a behema mechutz la'aretz could be offered as a korban, And that seems, I'm not sure what the resolution is on that. It happens to be that the Minchas Chinuch writes extensively on this mitzvah. It's a long, long description of Minchas Chinuch. I'm sure buried in there someplace is this issue. So,
when you say it can't be offered according to the Rambam, does that mean that according to the others it should be offered?
An animal from Chutz La'aretz. I believe so. I believe that's how they.
Even if it's only Bavel to Yerushalayim, it seems like an awful. Every time you have a Bechor, you got to schlep it to Yerushalayim.
As they say in the Waterbury Yeshiva, Rabbi Kalish, right? We never use the word schlep. Right, I think we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was over Sukkot. I don't remember. But we don't use the word schlep. There's a reason for everything. One thing to figure out, and not this is not for tonight, but as we get towards the end, is that why not only do we allow people to sell it, but we actually encourage people to sell it. We actually encourage people to avoid this issue, and why is that okay? I mean, why would we ever encourage people to avoid a mitzvah, right? Right, you're saying it's right. What do you mean? So bring it. You got a lot of schar, and you'll bring it to Eretz Yisrael. So why, right? The Simon Shin Chaf Sif Vav starts off by saying Bizman Hazeh Mitzvah L'Shatef Ima Ovikol Chavim Kodem Shiyatz Levir Olam Kli Lepatro Mea Bechora. That the mitzvah is to join with a non-Jew before the animal is born in order to exempt it from b'chor. Even though it's going to remove its kedusha, this is considered better. Shelo yavo lidei michshol, so that we're not going. There won't be any problems down the road. So we have to understand that, right? So would that then apply to your case according to other rishonim? That there is kedusha to the point that you would offer it as a korban. So what else is there? So the tour here continues. V'chasev oda Rambam shetzarech lahakdisho, that you need to be maktishit. V'imlo hakdisho kadosh mirechem. But the Rosh, however, says that you don't need to. That you don't need to. Meaning, do you actually have to declare it as kadosh? Maybe that's the mitzvah, meaning it's kadosh anyways, but your declaration of kadosh is what needs to happen, and then potentially would you make a bracha on doing so? So that's another issue that needs to be worked out. And then the Torah says, "Vezuhi mitzvah so no sinoso lekohen velo lekohenis." You give it to a kohen, not to a female kohen. Bein im hutam o balmum, whether the animal is a tam or a balmum. Shenolad b'mumah o shenolad b'mum acher shenolad. Either way, it's going to be given over to a kohen. Now, the Torah continues on in Beis and says, and you see this, there's not much Beis Yosef here, because it's really just straight out of the Mishnayos, but he says, V'lo yitnenu lo miyad, kishiyolad, you don't give it to him right away, all right, ela habaylim chayvin letapilbo, the owner, the original owner, he needs to deal with it while it's really young, right? B'behema daka shloshim yom, if it's a small animal, right, like a calf or a sheep or something, so then you would keep it for 30 days. What?
Madaka means a sheep or a goat, usually. Gasa is a cow.
Right. So, goat, sheep, what are the other examples? I don't know. Should be other examples, no?
Goat or sheep.
What?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, those are the main ones. Those are the ones you can sacrifice.
Right. But there must be other things that are considered behemoths, no? I don't know.
Well, not that you can bring to the altar.
Right, no, I understand. Those would only be offered as a korban. Now, does this apply to other kosher animals also? So that's, but right, not for now. But anyways, Dr. Shloshim Yom, Vagasa Chemishin Yom, by a cow, that would be, or a bull, a bull, not a cow, right? Cows are female, right? So that would be 50 days, right? Vim Elo Kohen Matsui, Chayv Letapobo Ashiz Damin Lo Kohen. If there's no Kohen available, so then the original owner has to deal with it until the Kohen shows up. So this is talking about where the animal was actually born and not where it was sold. So, fine. So let's go with that. Go to page, I guess, 4, the Shulchan Aruch. We'll do Aleph and Beis and then go back. So Aleph and Beis here says, so b'chor behema tahora, so shin vav sif aleph, a b'chor behema tahora, kosher animal, noeg b'zacharim v'lo b'nekevos, v'noeg afil shulo b'zman habayis, b'im baris b'im v'chutz laretz. It applies whether, even not during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Eretz Yisrael chutz laretz, u'mitzvah lahakdisho v'lomar, harezu kodesh. and there's a mitzvah to be makdish it and say thereby this is kodesh, right? So he's invoking the position of the Rambam here, right? V'im lo hektisho miskadosh me'el v'rachim. But if we weren't makdish it, it's kodesh anyways. I mean, it's not going to change the fact that it is kodesh. V'nosin oso l'kohen v'lo l'kanos, and you give it to a male and not a female. Right, and the shach adds in, right, being on the top line there, being im hutam o balmum, being shenolah b'mumu, being shenolah b'mum, acher shenolah, nosin osu l'kohen, right, you got to give it over to the kohen. Bei says, ein nosin abachor l'kohen kashiyolat, she'ein zu gedola l'kohen. He says, you don't give it to the kohen right when it's born, because it's not for the kohen to raise. El yitapel bo bailav, the owner deals with it achi gadil until it gets a little older. Mat v'ad kama Yisrael chayvim lihitapel bo, how long does he have to deal with it? So bedaka lamid yom ubegasa chamishim yom v'inyen yom kohen matzui chayv lihitapel bo achi zdamin lekohen. If the kohen still isn't around at that point, so then fine, you got to hold on to it until a kohen shows up. The Gemara itself asks, by the way, where do 30 days and 50 days come from? So 30 days we're used to, right? 30 days is from Pidyon Bechor, right? That's how long it takes for it no longer to be considered to be a Nefel. What about 50 days? Where does the idea of 50 days come from? What else do you have to wait 50 days for? This is somewhat far-fetched. What?
Pesach and Shavuos.
Pesach and Shavuos, yes, that is 50 days. Okay. What is the wait, though, from Pesach to Shavuos? What does one have to wait for? I know you're waiting for for the holiday of for cheesecake, right? But especially those that are knowing specifically not to eat cheesecake between Pesach and Shavuos. But what's the story? What else is during that time? So the Isser of Chadash. Right, so we learned about the Isser of Chadash and Yashan, so the way it works is only things that were planted before Pesach can be... Sorry, you could only eat things after Pesach if it was planted before Pesach. That's the Korban Omer, right? That's only before Pesach. However, by Kudshim, you have to wait for Shavuos. So then there's another example of a 50-day wait for something else. I mean, even though the Korban Omer is brought, other Kudshim, for something to be brought as Menachos, you have to wait for Shavuos until you can use the things that were made before Pesach. So that's where the 50-day idea comes from. Fine. All right, let's go. Stuff here. You know, for Gimel, we could stay. Let's stay here in the Shulchan Aruch, though. So the Shulchan Aruch then says, Gimel. Amar Leia Kohen, Teneu li tochs manze, vania tapel atzmi. What if the Kohen comes along and says, hey, I know, you know, you're stuck with this animal for 30 days until you can give it to me. I'll tell you what, I'll take it from you now, and I'll deal with it for the next 30 days. So, Eino Rishai Litnolo, says the Shulchan Aruch, really based on the Gemara, right? You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give it to him before 30 days. Why not? So why? Shezek kemo misayeya al matnosav. It sounds like he is helping for his matana, for things coming to him. V'imaya balmum v'amar le toksman zet teneu li she'ochlo ata rishai litno. So then you'd be allowed to do this. What is he talking about? So there is a concept in the Gemara that it's at the very least inappropriate, and that therefore pretty much usher, for a kohen. It's called a kohen that hangs out at the Beis Hagranos, right? For a kohen to hang out at the Beis Hagranos, the granary, right? So that's considered to be inappropriate because the kohen is like, you know, elbowing his way in order to get the matanos, right? So in order to get the truma. So just as the kohen is not supposed to do that, so he's also not supposed to do this. Meaning here he's also angling in order to get the matana. That's considered to be, in the fancy Shulchan Aruch, the Dirshu Shulchan Aruch that was given over, I think he lists off a four-way machlokas as to what exactly is the issue with the kohen stepping in. But where was that? But either way, he's not allowed to do it there. It's like he's taking it as payment rather than as a matana. Or some say that it's an order, that it's considered to be a... that it needs to be given to him kavod, and it's not being given to him kavod. Some say that Shekim and Shema Sherotzen HaKohen L'Kabel V'Torachpa Hu Kedei L'Kabel Es Kol Matnosav, that people will say the only reason the Kohen is working is because he wants to get the Matanos, and that's considered to be stealing from other Kohanim. And some say that Shnir Adav Shei Yisrael Sochro L'Kohen L'Torach V'Shvilo, that the Yisrael is only giving it to him in order to get the Kohen to work for him. So that way it's sort of an end around giving it away as the Kohen freely. But either way, that's considered to be a problem. So based on that, the Gemara gives this also as an example of something that the Kohen, that you're not supposed to do. The Kohen is not supposed to offer to take the animal early because it looks like this problem. So that is that. So, but if it already, that's only if it doesn't have imum. If it has imum already, so then you don't have to wait that period of time. That period of time is only because someone's going to have to deal with it, so therefore you have to wait and give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen shouldn't have to deal with it for too long. But if it has imum already, so the Kohen's allowed to shecht it right away. So if the Kohen's allowed to shecht it right away, so then it'd be in his interest to go ahead and get right away, and therefore you'd be allowed to give it to him if he comes and says, I'm willing to take it ahead of time. Now, Dalid is where I think the rubber hits the road with this. Because in Dalid, it says, So Dalid says, what about if the Kohen doesn't want it? And you can understand the Kohen not wanting it, right? The Kohen's like, what do you want me to do with this animal walking around my property, right? The neighbors aren't going to be too thrilled. I don't have a fence, and my kids like to play in the backyard, right? So the Kohen says, I'm not interested. So what happens then? So Dalit says, Ima Kohen misariv mil kablo, why? Yishyesh bo toreach gadol. It's a big pain. Bizman hazeh, li tapel bo, achi yafil bo mum, right? To deal with the animal until it gets a mum, right? That's a problem. So eno rishai, mifnei shenire kimivaze matnos kahuna. So he's not allowed to. Right, the Kohen protests, he doesn't want it. Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Rishai. He's not allowed to protest, right? He should take it, right? That's his mitzvah, right? We have a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. The Kohen has a mitzvah to take it from us, right? And it's going to mess up your landscaping. Tough, right? So deal with it. That's part of the mitzvah. Now,
you give it to your least favorite Kohen, then?
In that case, you would give it to your least favorite Kohen, right? Right. Yes. Right, the guy who slept on the longest for Birchas Kohanim, he's the rudest to the Levi when the Levi tries to wash his hands. So comes the Radak and says, "Bafilu Safek Bechor." What?
Ramah.
The Ramah says, now even if it's only a Safek Bechor, the Kohen needs to go ahead and take it. There we go. Okay, right. The Kohen should take it. Miyad Yisrael ha-nosein lo, from the Yisrael that's given to him. Period. Okay, so that's the starting point. I mean, why would I think not? Why would I say he wouldn't have to? So the Taz here, well, Tzarech HaKohen, who gives the better explanation? So the Shach here is at least on this page. The Shach says, "Hainu she'osa kohen iser im eno mekablo." Meaning the kohen, in this case, is violating the prohibition if he doesn't take it. Aval mikol makom lo kaifin alei. But in this case, you can't actually force him. Meaning, if it's a straight up kohen, a straight up bechor, so you go to the kohen, tear. Kohen says, "I don't want it." You say, "Tough luck," and I'll get Basin to enforce it. Here, you go to the Kohen. Kohen says, "I don't want it." You say, "No, but it's a mitzvah." And he says, "Tough. You know, I already put on tefillin today. I'm done with my mitzvah salachment, right?" So you say, "Well, I'm going to get based and I'm going to tell on you." To which he says, "Go for it." To which Basin says, "No, we're not going to force him." Why? Because he says, "Kidchazav or zeruah, mashakazav or zeruah, m'seches yom tov." Right? The mashim and perish Rashi dechayfin lehi ayri kisharotz lekabul laachar zman. V'chein hu v'piskei mari, me'michuvas levi v'hi chuvas maril, v'chein hu bagos Mordechai, in tzarech ha-kohen l'kabla, da'afal gab d'kaimelon l'chumra, plus even though we rule here l'chumra, now keep in mind, again, it's a suffik b'chor, So remember what we just spent the last month or so in Hilchos Pinyon HaBen, saying that a Safek Bechor, you don't actually have to give the money to the Kohen, plus a Motzmei Chaver Ola Varaya. Here, it seems like, and I'm not sure what the difference is yet, maybe we'll come across it, here, by a Safek, we actually are ruling L'chumra, and saying, no, it's L'chumra, you got to give it to the Kohen. We don't say HaMotzmei Chaver Ola Varaya, rather, you have to give it to the Kohen. But the Kohen could say, Yachla Kohen Lomar L'nosein Zil Aisi Raya D'Bechorhu. The Kohen will say, you want me to mess up my lawn because of this animal, right? You have to bring me a proof that this is actually the Bechor, right? And if you can't, so then you can't, right? Who we topple though? Then I'll deal with it. I ain't shabbat. Sarah Flomer Divrei Ma'aril the Hasam Kamer Shein Kofen Osa. That's what it means, that we're not going to force him. We're not going to force him in the case of a Safek Bechor. We're only going to force him in the case of a Vaday Bechor. And then the Rama gets even a little bit more interesting, and I could see this having other applications. He says, by the way, the dafka besafik shaba mi'atzmo. He says, this idea that it's a safik, and you can even and it's a mitzvah for the Kohen to take it even though it's a safik, that's only if it's a safik that came on its own. Meaning, it's something that came on its own. Aval, b'makom shepasha ha'Yisrael. But what if a Yisrael is the one who made the mistake? Meaning, it only is a Bechor because Yisrael made the mistake. For example, Kagon, Shekana Parachol Leves Mina Ovei Kochavim. Now, here's another. It seems like this is also a Girsa issue. It doesn't make sense this way. It must be the other way. But he bought a milking cow, right? The assumption with the milking cow is that it already gave birth, right? That's why it's milking, right? So that's why this it must be the flip side. He bought a par that's not milking. Must be it, right? Mina Ovei Kochavim. Oh, Shai Yachol Limkor HaBechor L'Ovei Kochavim Kodem Shenolad. Or, right, he heard that you're supposed to sell the Bechor before it's born, right? It's a mitzvah, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Now, you know, I'm not sure how well known this was, but in this case, the rabbi said, oh, you got a new, you're expecting your firstborn calf. Oh, okay, that's very exciting. But you really should sell the mother to a guy, because otherwise you're going to get involved in Bechor. And the guy says, oh, that's crazy, Rabbi. I never heard of anything like that, right? I learned Shana Aleph, and I never heard of such a halacha. I'll look into it. And then he never looks into it, and then he never sells it. So, and then this animal is born. So he says, what do I do now? So the rabbi says, well, you got to give it to a Kohen. So he goes and goes to his Kohen, his friendly Kohen, and the Kohen says, are you nuts? I don't want your calf, right? I'm allergic to calf. So to which the guy says, well, I heard you're supposed to take it. To which the guy says, no, I learned this halacha, right? The Rama says that I only have to take it if it's born in a normal way or you couldn't have control. But I know you were at that shiur where the rabbi mentioned that you were supposed to sell the mother before it gives birth to his firstborn calf. You were there and you were just lazy and you didn't do it. So therefore, it doesn't become my problem, right? It's still your problem and you got to deal with the calf yourself. So Oshai Yachol Limkor Abachor Lo Vikham Kol Mishnola Velo Asa, and you didn't do it. So Ena Kohen Tzarech LeKablo. In that case, the Kohen doesn't have to take it. Da'afil V'Malkum Shetzarech LeKablo Asur LeYisrael Litin Lo Laknito O Limkom Menu. And even in a place where he should accept it, the Yisrael is not permitted to. I'm not sure what that means. Litin Lo Laknito. I guess like sort of.
Give him to anger and upset him.
Right, he's not allowed to do it to like get him upset or to punish him or to take revenge. Like, haha, Kohen, right? You think that just because you get the first aliyah, you also get the best parking spot? Well, I'll show you, right? And he sticks this on him. That's also considered to be inappropriate. But okay, but anyway, so that is that's the din here, right? So you get into this interesting give and take. Meaning, on one hand, you have this mitzvah, on the other hand, you get the sense in halacha that halacha appreciates the fact that this is like putting a very big challenge on the farmer and potentially on the kohen as well, right? So the deal about selling it will come later. But at least we already see alluded to here that the guy was supposed to sell it. He didn't sell it. Then the Kohen says, listen, you didn't sell it. Why does it become my problem that I now have this animal growing hair all over my lawn? Zephri has the right under those circumstances to reject it. So comes the Piskei Tshuva here and sends you to the Chavos Ya'ir. So the Chavos Yair, I believe, I meant to look this up. Chavos Yair, I believe, was the Rav in Frankfurt, I believe. Because he mentions Frankfurt in the middle of this shuvah here. So I'm pretty sure. Yair Bachrach, I believe he was the rabbi in Frankfurt prior to... prior to Rabbi Katzenallenbogen, who was the one who was the Get Me Cleaves person. I believe the Chavos Yair is before that, I think. But well, look it up. Anyways, so the Chavos Yair, he has a tshuva here where he says, "V'ayim b'tshuvas Chavos Yair simul lamed ches v'lamed tes umem." So three tshuvas in a row on the topic of Bechoros, right? B'maisa sheruvin machar l'shimon paramu veres. That Reuven sells Shimon a pregnant cow. Vadayan, in the Bill Cosby Noach routine, I believe there is a pregnant animal involved in one of the things Noah complains to God about, I think. Like, you're going to clean that up over there? Right? I didn't know it was pregnant. But anyways, so here he sells him a pregnant cow, Vadayin lo para. He didn't, but he hasn't yet paid, right? So he gives him, here's the cow, and payment will come tomorrow. V'layla harishona achar amecher, and lo and behold, that very night, vayhi b'layla ahu, on that night, yalda zachar, right? A boy is born. V'amocher v'gam halokeach lo machru es havlad kodem haleda. He says, now, the calf was not included in the sale, right? Nobody said anything about this beforehand. So now, bashir lo zachru, v'lo ala alibam, sheigia es leidasa, right? And they hadn't mentioned it, and it never entered their mind that it was, you know, that its due date was now. The tan halokeach, shehu mekach tos. So the buyer says, even though he gets two for the price of one, but he's stuck with the bechor. So he says, hey, it's a mekach tos, right? It's a illegitimate sale, right? V'ena rotzi, doesn't want to pay. L'shalim, b'chein. B'chein nase pesher b'neim. So therefore, they make a compromise. Shelkeach yinaka b'zehuvim b'chetzi midvei hamecher. That he removed two and a half zehuvim. Right? So I guess this is, right, the Zukukim, Zukukim Kesef, not Zuhuvim. All right, anyways, so he removed 2.5, whatever it is, from the price. Right, Vika Chapara, and therefore, and he took the cow, V'Havlad, V'chein Nase, V'Hichsik Halokeach Etzlo Hapara Im Havlad, Kemo Zayin Shvuos, V'Acharkach Shalach Oso L'Kohen Echad, V'Lo Ratz L'Kablo Hadin Im Mi. Right, so then, all right, he has this thing. He's got to hold on to this cow for 50 days. He holds on to it for 7 weeks, so 50 days go by, and now he goes and gives it to the Kohen, and he says, "Okay, David Katz, it's your problem now, right? So take the cow." To which he says, "Huh?" Right? He says he doesn't want it. So what's the din here? So what is the issues here, right? So number one, the issue is the Kohen is supposed to take it, right? On the other hand, so what's the Kohen's taina? The Kohen's taina is probably going to be like, you shouldn't be having this calf in the first place. Meaning you compromised and said, fine, I'll take the calf, you'll deduct for the price. But it shouldn't be your problem. It should be his problem, right? So why should I suffer just because you decided to compromise and for the mere 2.5 zehuvim that you got off the price, right? It shouldn't be my issue. So the shivu dayane kal kadosh Frankfurt, right? So this went to the Frankfurt basin. That's why I assume the Chavos Yair was the Av basin in Frankfurt. I'm pretty sure. But the pshita the ein kofen es hakovel lekabel, that we kohen lekabel, that we can't force the kohen to accept it in this case. Kamosha Kasamari, Venosov Laze, Yesh Latzadid, Shafilu Bizui Matanos Kahuna, Inkan, Kuliha. He says, and even the issue of being Mevaza gifts to the Kohen, that also isn't an issue here. Why? Miachar Shemakum HaKohen, Ein Makum Lishmor HaBachor. He says, first of all, the Kohen lives in a 2-bedroom apartment. Right? Have you ever seen what those streets look like in Frankfurt? Right? In fact, in Frankfurt, there was a. The Jews were confined to the Judengrass in Frankfurt on one block, and all the houses were built one on top of another, which is why there was a fire and destroyed the whole town several times, right? But he says, I don't have room in my apartment for a cow. Sorry. So anyways, that meaning having the cow live in my apartment is itself going to be a problem of Bizui Kachim. And he says also, Lios Kai Bikdusha Seha Begiz Kulihai. Miachar Shemakam Akoin in Makam Lishmar HaBachor, Lios Kai Bikdusha Seha Begiz of Avoda. That will maintain its Kedusha, both in terms of its shearings and its Avoda. Right? Vegam Yish Lachlish Sheis Ames Biadayim. He says, I'm concerned that I'm going to mess it up myself. Ubeprat imhu ketainas hakoin shalukeach posheya shalom mecher loove kochavim. He says, and also the kohen is complaining that the lokeach was made a mistake that he didn't sell it to a non-Jew. He says, what is he doing, keeping a pregnant cow in his possession without selling to a non-Jew? Right, that's the first rule. Right, if you have a pregnant cow, you sell it to a non-Jew. So what is he doing? Right, the vaday ain't tzarich lekabel. He definitely doesn't have to accept it. Vasheila hanal nishal gamkein lefi agon maharik mimitz. However, the question was also asked from the maharak mimetz. Okay, b'shinu iksas with a slightly differently. Vahala, I'm not sure if it says how it was different, but vahala he came out shelukeach lo poshei klal, that the lukeach didn't make a mistake. Mikama tamin. Right, v'lachein al kohanim mutol atapel ima b'choris. Therefore, sorry, Cohen, you should take it. Rakevet shenira mitoch hasheila shu suffik b'chor k'din hakona behema min ovi kochavim al korchach ein kofim b'kfia rak modiim lahem shim yisarvu harehim vazim menas hamelach v'chein Cohen she'ena moda behem ein lo chelik b'kohuna. He says, now, it's true, you could make a taina that is unclear whether it is his. Now, truth is, it's unclear from the shayla itself, but apparently, from the tshuva, you could tell that the seller was not Jewish. That's part of the... Well, actually, wait a second. No. It was Reuven selling to Shimon, right? Yeah, it was Reuven selling to Shimon. I don't know how you would say that Reuven wasn't Jewish. But it seems like here, the part of the answer is that the seller wasn't Jewish. In which case, if the seller wasn't Jewish... So remember, the birth took place between the time when the cow was given over and the money was given back. So it's all unclear who owned it at that point. So therefore, he says maybe it's a suffix. So now I'm not sure what the suffix is because it was described as Reuven and Shimon. Maybe that's the difference. Meaning the Chavos Ya'ir's case was Reuven and Shimon. The case of the Maharik Mitz is Pablo and Shimon, right? But anyway, so he says, now the truth is he could reject it and we can't force him to take it in that case, but you still explain to him that, you know, you're giving up on your portion of kahuna by doing so. The real correct thing is he says, but really what you should do is the seller and the kohen, they should split between them the 2.5 zehuvim discount that he got. That way we'll help pay for the animal feed while it's in the kohen's possession. Also he writes that the lukeach didn't make a mistake at all. We're not going to, this isn't the place to discuss it anymore. Also, what about the following? And this is interesting because it's what do you do in the case of rabbinic malpractice, right? So that somebody asked and that he sold it to he did sell it to a non-Jew beforehand, but apparently he sold it in a way that didn't work. I don't know what that was. I don't know. He took a credit card or something like that. So kashir nagu rabim mi amei haaretz. He says, and this happens with a lot of the amei haaretz. Shenich shalom bazeh. They mess up here. V'ore hamore shelo yatsa midei kedushas b'chor. And they, you know, after the fact, it went in front of the rabbi. The rabbi said, hell, wait a second. You didn't do this kinyan. You didn't do that. So guess what? It didn't lose its kedushas b'chor. You own it the whole time. V'achar kach lo ratzo hakohanim lekablo. And therefore, and then the kohen didn't want to take it. Right, but Amram Shamocher Poshebaze. He said, "Well, the seller messed up. It's your fault. You didn't. You tried selling it to the guy, and you messed up in selling it to the guy. So it's your fault that you sell it to the guy. You keep it. So Shalom Macher Baofen Amol Upasak Dinehidim Mikri Karov Lemezid Dahavle Lishol Lachacham." And he said, "In truth, is it's even called Karov Lemezid because he should have just asked the rabbi to take care of it for him. Mikom Makom Lo Mikri Poshea Rak Shogeg. But yet he's not called the Poshea. He's only called the Shogeg." minhag mekukol ayin sham. He says because he did what he was supposed to do. How did he figure out how you're supposed to sell an animal to avoid pidyon b'chor? Right? He looked on the internet. Right? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to look on the internet. So apparently he looked at the wrong website, and the website got it wrong. But we're not going to call him a posheya. We're only going to call him a shogeg, meaning he did the best he could, and therefore we're not going to make him suffer. Rather, it's in that case going to go to the Kohen. So you can see these cases. I mean, first of all, this is not ancient history, right? The Chavos Yair in the 1700s, right? So you can see this case showing up. And still, Adiyom Hazeh, I think I shared a story in the past that will come up when we do the selling, that like Rav Shechter got a Shiloh, what was called out of Shear once, because he had to deal with a birthing calf or something like that, and it had to be sold. So these issues do come up Adiyom Hazeh. So we'll spend a little bit. I don't intend on going through this simon by simon, sif by sif completely, but do a little bit of some of these sugyas. There are some pretty long piskei tshuvas also, trying to decipher some of these issues that come up.
This would have happened in Germany. In Germany, the Jews were the cattle dealers. They had the corner on the cattle market.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So this would have come up.
Right, right.
I don't know, it's in Frankfurt, but in Germany, but they were there.
Right. So nowadays they have CLE credits for the lawyers all the Kiruv organizations try to do law topics in order to get CLE credits for the lawyers. So they would have to do CLE for the cattle ranchers in Germany to take care of these issues. All right. So, anyways, so that's the first issue. I don't know if the Piskachus will always be as entertaining as this, but we'll see what comes over the upcoming weeks.